I went down to the toilet, and I thought there was going to be another hymn. I was enjoying that, so I thought, wait till the next one. I thought, no, I'll go now. So I had some sort of help there, didn't I? Or a nudge in the right direction. Well, good morning, all. It's nice to see you all again. I'm going to talk about kindness today. The spirit of kindness. Now, kindness should naturally be a characteristic of all us Christians, and it's a very powerful attribute that can enhance our ability to present ourselves to the world in the manner that befits the Christian image. The most perfect example that I can think of is our Lord Jesus suffering and dying on the cross and wholeheartedly giving himself for us out of kindness. And that to an undeserving world, he's given us freedom by his sacrifice. We're advised in the Bible to follow the examples of Christ and walk in this world, and therefore we should be practicing kindness at every opportunity. Now, although the act of kindness will benefit many people, and although we shouldn't be motivated by selfish attitude, it will be of immense benefit to us too, in a Christian sense. There's always a quiet contentment seems to follow, you know, when we perform any act of kindness. There's a good feeling about it. Kindness can also benefit us when we find ourselves under threat, be it verbal or physical. And we all experience confrontation from time to time in life, and, you know, altercations, whatever, from time to time anyway, and let's be honest about it, Satan's pretty active in this world, so we do get these confrontational situations. And on impulse, it's so easy for us to react in the human way, you know, the eye for an eye, etc. But what would Christ do in those situations? That's what we need to ask ourselves. You know, he would have you love this antagonist, as difficult as it is, and to turn the other cheek and to be kind. Now, that's a big ask, isn't it? To be kind to the person who's threatening you. It's not sort of a human trait, is it, by any stretch of the imagination? Naturally, as things sometimes go, you may not have the time or opportunity to reason with an individual anyway. But if you do, then apply the godly wisdom. That's my advice. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And I strongly recommend that. It's a pretty straightforward and simple statement, but it does work. I've applied it several times in my life when I've been doing my nut over something. And I've been threatened a few times, I can tell you. And it does work. And it's strikingly disarming to an angry individual. But it takes resolve and firm commitment to be able to apply it.
You've got a quote for that, Russell.
Pardon?
Got a quote? A gentle answer turns away wrath.
Yeah, yeah. For Proverbs 15:1, which I was going to come up to now in a moment. And, but of course, you know, although we find ourselves in these situations, God is there, and if you offer a quick prayer to God in those situations, which I also advise, it reinforces that. So conversely, allowing yourself to become angry will most certainly inflame the situation. I'm sure you all know that. You know, it's part of life's experience, isn't it? We lose our temper and all reason goes out the window. And as I just referred to, Proverbs 15:1, where it said a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger, which is explaining what I've just said. It's outlining it in a simple few words. And further to this approach, it's important to be forgiving too. And if we read Ephesians 4 verse 32, that's Ephesians 4 verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And keep in mind, blessed are the peacemakers, And that's taken from Matthew 5:9, if you need to look at the full verse. Vanity and self-righteousness can play a large part in our getting into confrontational situations. And a section of the Bible regarding wisdom, which we do well to bear in mind, is in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. There's that word again. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. We should not be looking to take offence impulsively. Me and Tony seem to talk about that a lot, taking offence. And like we've come to agree, it's a choice that we make. If you want to take offence, it's up to you. You know, it can be intended, but it's up to you to decide to take offence. You can be kind and refuse to take offence, can't you? Have you ever considered yourself to be offended? And I'm sure you have. Only to discover later that your presumption was wrong and you jumped the gun in making an error of judgment in thinking that offence was intended where it wasn't. I've certainly done it, and then comes the dreaded apology, which isn't so easy to apply, like, you know. So engage the brain before you open your mouth. That's my advice. It's vital to keep your tongue restrained. And I say restrained because it seems to have a mind of its own at times, doesn't it? Seems to run away with you. Before you've had time to think even, you know, there's a torrent of meaningless words that gush forth out of your mouth. There's no way you can unsay them once you've said them, that's for sure. And the damage is done. Very difficult to put it right. Again, I've experienced all these things personally, so I'm not just waffling here. It's got some foundation from my own personal viewpoint. And I'm certain that you have as well experienced similar situations. James 3, 5 and 6 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Further on in verse 6 of James 3, it says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. You know, well, that's a big statement, isn't it? You know, there's a lot in that. And, you know, this little tiny tongue making such a big impression and doing so much damage. So anyhow, in exercising kindness, it must be advantageous to maintain a tight rein on this. What I could call a little monster. So choose your words carefully, please. And try and be in control. It's very, very difficult in life. Very, very difficult when being provoked. I do understand that. We're beholden to God, though, to exercise kindness. See Colossians 3, 12 to 14. And in Colossians 3, 12 to 14, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Further on in verse 13 of Colossians 3, it says, bear with each other, forgiving whatever grievances you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Further on again in verse 14, and all these virtues, and over, I beg your pardon, all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I like that. This really is wise advice, and if taken on board, will greatly enhance our efforts to present ourselves as truly kind people. If we look at Luke 6, 35 to 36, Luke 6, 35 to 36, which says, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Verse 36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Lend to your enemies without thinking of any return. You know, that's a bit against the grain, I would say. But this is, you know, this is God's thinking, not ours. And it does, you know, it have amazing effect on people. That attitude would astonish an enemy, I'm sure. You know, it really put him on the back foot, so to speak. And the enemy would be inclined, I'm sure, to reflect on what has happened. Because it's, to him, it would be irrational. You know, that kindness that you would be showing would be incomprehensible to him, I would imagine. But would you have the commitment to venture there? Like I say, these are words and talking, but would I do it? Would you do it? It's a question, Mark, over that. All in all, I have to admit, it's so much easier preparing and writing about all of this, isn't it? You know, so easy to put down in words and talk about it, spouting off about it. But what does it mean in practice? You know, but these are the ways of God. Not of my ways, because my ways are like your ways. They're the ways of the world. And it's, we run contrary, don't we, to what God wants us to do so often. And we think about this, but do we intend in doing it? That's another thing. It's about commitment, isn't it? Like I say, it makes me feel humble talking about it. I feel like a phony, to be quite frank with you. Because it's certainly not what I'm naturally inclined to do, I'll be honest with you. To be on the straight and narrow path to glory, as it were, really is a massive ask for anybody anyway. But we are to seek first the kingdom, and this is part and parcel of that road that we travel down. The task does seem awesome, nevertheless, like most good things, they usually only reach fruition by hard work and diligence. It takes this diligence and great effort. You know, there's no easy way. A stumbling block to everything good is that war raging within our inner selves. Good versus bad all the time, that inner conflict. Us fighting against our human nature, as it were. Hopefully we can keep these two words in mind. Be kind. Keep them at the forefront of your mind. It could stop you acting impulsively and reacting to things before you've had time to think. Be kind. It's a simple little statement, isn't it? Very simple, but I think it might be very helpful. And I've thought about this quite a lot. You know, it could help us and protect us from the pitfalls that Satan wants us to fall in all the time, perpetually, wanting us to upset other people. And so often when we do, we're sorry. Even if we're somewhat in the right, we regret getting into those confrontational situations. Man is not saved by badgering, but through the heart. Now, we can reach person's heart by kindness. Just try and reach the heart of a very angry, drunkard individual with stern words. I'll tell you what, it don't work. If you've ever tried it, and I'm sure most of us have, I certainly have, but I wouldn't rate your chances of much success if you adopt an aggressive approach to trying to make a drunk person see the right approach, to see the folly of his ways, as it were. You stand a far better chance of success with a loving, gentle approach and kindness. And it does seem so unnatural in those situations, because it stirs up anger. When you see a drunkard person being offensive to people, it's not the first thing that would come to mind. And it's very often how we say something, isn't it? It's not what we say. It's how something is said you can admonish somebody in a gentle manner and have a totally different effect than if you were to try and put somebody right in an aggressive manner. Well, you know, on TV and everything, we hear of lots of people attempting suicide, you know. And what do we see depicted in programs which show such a scene? You see a gentle person trying to talk somebody down and trying to be kind to them. And who knows, half these people may have committed some terrible deed, yet they approach the kindness that's required in those situations. And it's only that attitude that will stop somebody from, on occasion, from committing suicide even. So the kind words definitely help, and the gentleness goes in hand in hand with that. So be gentle. When you get the opportunity, try and help people. Don't judge them, just be gentle. You'll get far better results. You know, although it's a little bit against human nature, because there's a tendency to think, why don't they pull their socks up and all that? But then you're analysing the situation and judging it. But of course, there's that worst situation when people actually commit suicide, sadly, and there's not much you can do about that, is there? I mean, the damage is done. We hear lots of deaths from suicide, and of course, Satan is winning the day there. He's led a person on a wild goose chase, seeking after ways of this world which have led to their demise, where they've been driven to that despair that causes them to take their lives. You know, down Bridge End, we've heard a lot of school kids in the past few years, not quite recently, but there was a spate of children killing themselves. You know, Satan was active there, and nobody has ever come up with a reason why, other than the fact that it's evil at work. But anyhow, if you do get a chance to help somebody, it's kindness that needs to be put into effect. Kindness and love, gentleness. And people need this. They don't need condemnation. It doesn't help anybody. If you're going to encourage somebody in the right manner, it'll take that. And they need Christian hope. And again, as we can see from those various quotes, it's all about biblical understanding, and godly knowledge, the gentleness that Christ showed towards the world. So kindness and not condemnation is the keynote. We should be kind to people in delicate situations mentally, and to cast off all the common attitudes whereby I was talking about earlier, where we judge people, you know. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and all that. It just never does any good. It's very often it's applicable, but children and that don't take any notice of it, do they? You know, parents keep telling them, don't do that, don't do that. Any word of aggression, just being, please don't do that. Sometimes you feel like whacking them on, let's be honest. Anyhow, but of course, where would the kindness be there? We won't help anyone with that type of aggressive approach, will we? No chance. We could take note of 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5 in dealing with such situations as I discuss. So that's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5. In verse 4 it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. On in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13 it says, it is not rude and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Another verse of a like nature is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. Ephesians 4 verse 2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And further, in like manner yet again, is Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13, where it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience." We've heard that section quoted many times. Further in verse 13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And that last sentence strikes me as vital, and a vital attribute which harmonizes with the act of kindness. How can you be kind if you can't forgive? You know, it takes that forgiveness, don't it, to be inclined to be kind. As a relief from my ramblings, anyway, I've selected a few quotes to break from my waffle, as it were. I thought I picked up a few quotes here that I like, and I think you might too, which regard kindness. And the 14th Dalai Lama from 1935, he said, "When we feel love and kindness toward others, it not only makes others feel loved and cared for, but it helps us also to develop inner happiness and peace." And I would add here, the inner happiness and peace are natural godly blessings that stem from the act of kindness, as I related to earlier, as a natural good feeling comes from being kind to somebody. Just give a sweet to a child. It's a lovely feeling. Simple. Don't have to be a huge thing. The next one is from Bob Kerry. I don't know if Tony might remember this one, from 1943, an American politician. I'm sure he won't. His memory would have to be really great to remember the quote, but nevertheless, he might remember the person, Bob Kerry. I got no idea who he was. "Unexpected kindness is the most powerful and least costly and most underrated agent of human change." Nice little quote. And one from William Wordsworth. He was around 1770 to 1850. We all know Wordsworth from his poetry, of course. "The best portion of a good man's life, his little nameless unremembered acts of kindness and of love." Now, I like that quote, but I don't necessarily agree with all of that. Because he says there's that unremembered bit, you know. I, for one, remember many small acts of kindness to put in my direction. As a child, I remember kindness, little things, and I'm sure you do. And of course, God remembers them, because your acts of kindness, you're storing up riches in heaven by being that way. You're conforming to what God wants you to do. Of course, he's not going into detail. I'm sure he would go on to say that. It's just a small, succinct quote. And who am I to criticise William Wordsworth? Like, there's one year from a person named Cahill Gibran. 1883, we're really going back a bit here, to 1931. He was a Lebanese-American artist, a poet and writer. And he said, "Tenderness and kindness are not signs of weakness and despair, but manifestations of strength and resolution." And this year, this anonymous one, I really like this. It's a succinct little quote here that I think you'll like. It says, "One of the most difficult things to give away is kindness. Usually it comes back to you." You know. I'm sure that rings a few bells with us, didn't it? You heard everybody talking about karma, don't they? Which irritates me somewhat. But they say also what goes round comes round, and fits in with that. Because it does. It does have that sort of natural effect. There's natural rewards from everything good that God lays down, and which we put into action. So no act of kindness is too small. gift of kindness may start as a small ripple that over time can turn into a tidal wave, affecting the lives of many. That one there is from Kevin Heath. He's a CEO of More for Kids. More for Kids. This next one, Brian Tracy from 1944. Motivational author. In life, you can never be too kind or too fair. Everyone you meet is carrying a heavy load. When you go through your day expressing kindness and courtesy to all you meet, you leave behind a feeling of warmth and good cheer, and you help alleviate the burdens everyone is struggling with. Now, I like that, because that's recognising everyone's struggle. Everybody got problems. You know, when somebody says, oh, think of others, yeah, well, do we really think enough about others? Because everybody got sometimes huge problems. It's inevitable in life. Here's one from a person who was subject to a dreadful situation. I didn't realise, it was only just looking up quotes. Rachel Joy Scott, 1981 to 1999, a young girl, a student, and the first victim of the Columbine High School massacre. She says, I have this theory that if one person can go out of their way to show compassion, then it will start a chain reaction of the same. People will never know how far a little kindness can go. And I find that very touching when you consider that person was thinking like that and basically was murdered at a young age, such a young age, 19-year-old girl. And finally, with these quotes, Henry Burton, 1840 to 1930, a clergyman writer. Have you had a kindness shown? Pass it on. 'Twas not given for thee alone. Pass it on. Let it travel down the years. Let it wipe another's tears. Till in heaven the deed appears. Pass it on. Like I said, they're not unremembered things, are they? They're remembered. That's what he said. Till in heaven your deed appears. It's lodged with God. Nothing, no kindness is wasted. But that's enough of the people of the world's quotes. We'll just finish here with the penultimate scripture. Here's in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11. Should have wrote it down, because it always ends up taking me ages to find the scriptures that I want. See what I mean? 2 Peter 5, 2 Peter 1, get it right in a minute, 5 to 11. And it goes like this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. There it is again. And to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so practice them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. In your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the final scripture is Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. 10 years. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we'll leave it there with, finish with God's word. Thanks for your time. Hope you find it useful in keeping you out of trouble. And making you happy. See, I couldn't let God have the final word, could I ever say something? Contradiction. Human flaw. Thank you, Russell, very much. I think you touched everyone today with a very calm, measured sermon, and what we all face in everyday life. So thank you very much for reminding us of those things. You know. Thanks very much. Thank you. Right, Tom is going to give the closing prayer, hopefully. Well done. The final hymn is, if you'd like to rise, is Jesus, All for Jesus.